This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, social media seems to be the natural go-to for clubs as a method for marketing and recruiting members. And for some, it's the only thing they use. Our guest today is here to offer some compelling thoughts on a sometimes overlooked but critical component, club websites. Ryan, who is our guest today?
Distinguished Toastmaster David F. Carr is today's guest. David is a writer, editor, and digital consultant who has spoken at international technology conferences. In addition to being a member of Online Presenters and Club Awesome Toastmasters, both in Coral Springs, Florida, he is also the founder of the WordPress for Toastmasters project and runs the Toastmost.org club website hosting service. David's article, Make Your Club Website a Marketing and Recruiting Asset, appears in the February 2022 issue of the Toastmaster. David F. Carr, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
David, before we dive into the main topic of your article, I'd like to learn a little bit more about you. As I just read, your bio references that you've spoken at international technology conferences. I'd like to know, where have you spoken and what are some of the topics that you enjoy presenting the most?
Most of the speaking opportunities came about as the result of a book that I wrote called Social Collaboration for Dummies, which was about how the methods and techniques of engagement that you see on social media were starting to come into the workplace. At the time the book was published, Slack hadn't come out yet, but Yammer and Jive and a number of other Facebook or LinkedIn for the inside the company products had come out as ways of engaging with other people, going on to conversations, making contacts across the organization, as opposed to, you know, between organizations or just with your friends, had come out. And so I got opportunities to speak in, was it Lisbon, Berlin, and Stockholm, which allows me to say that I've been an international speaker. So it was basically the book tour for that, that gave me those opportunities. I've spoken at some other technology conferences too. Part of the reason I got into Toastmasters in the first place was I was a writer and editor, and I was used to communicating from behind the keyboard. I needed to get a little bit better at doing it up in front of a group of people or even on a podcast or a webcast.
Getting into the marketing and recruiting, which is one of the reasons we're talking here today, I'm just curious as to what's your general perception of a landscape right now in terms of what you're seeing clubs and individuals doing with respect to those two areas?
We have a lot of social media activity. So seems like right now everybody is posting about their next club meeting in the official Toastmasters International members group. Not sure that's the place where you should be posting every meeting notice. Certainly if your club is doing something special, some special workshop that would be of broad interest, that can be a way of generating interest. And we might be sharing to our personal profiles as well. I do think that one of the problems that we run into, I think, is a general problem with how Toastmasters clubs do marketing and recruiting, is sometimes we're putting out the message to the people who are already convinced. We're advertising Toastmasters to other Toastmasters who already believe in Toastmasters about the value of Toastmasters. Well, a lot of the people we ought to be trying to reach are those people who have no idea or only a vague idea of what Toastmasters is. And if they've heard of it, they may think it sounds like an incredibly boring way for people to get together and give each other PowerPoint presentations. And in order to show them that it's something more interesting than that, we have to think about engaging more broadly in channels that are going to go out to, you know, the general public, the people who are just searching for something to improve themselves personally or professionally, and they don't know that Toastmasters is what they're looking for. So we have to make our effort to do that.
We're certainly going to be getting into some of the details and the nitty-gritty in terms of some of the do's and don'ts and best practices. My curiosity is related to, obviously, websites you feel are extremely important, but I'm thinking about what I'm seeing out there on a daily basis. How do you convince people of the importance and the relevance of websites? Because every time we turn around, there is a new platform that is coming out. In fact, some people are only now discovering Facebook, and everything goes on Facebook. And we know that not everything the people post will get seen by Facebook. We also know, as you mentioned earlier, as you just mentioned, people who are advertising or preaching to the converted, right? They'll post in their closed Facebook group, which will only be available for them. So how do you convince people to say, you know what? Websites are not passe. They're still viable solution.
One thing that mixes in there too is you have to remember that Facebook's a big deal, but not everybody's on Facebook. And there are people who are getting rid of their Facebook accounts for various political reasons or privacy-sensitive reasons. And as you mentioned, there's always a new platform coming along. It's a noisy environment. I'm not anti-Facebook. I'm not anti-social media marketing. I think that's absolutely a component of what you should be doing. You know, one of the things about the way something is presented on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn is generally when people are browsing through, they see a paragraph, they see an image, not too much more than that. One of the ways that I would suggest that you use your social media marketing is to try and get people over to your website. And so why do you want to bring people to your website? Because the website is your piece of internet real estate. It is where you can branch out and you can tell the full story, where you can put the directions or hopefully maybe a Google map telling people how to get to your meeting place, assuming you still meet in a physical location. More detail about what is so special about your club can be presented in context on your website. You want to build that out. You want to use the social media component as a tease to bring people there. There are other strategies. You might be trying to drive people to a Facebook page. And some clubs are using a Facebook page. For anybody who doesn't understand the terminology, a page is usually a business or organizational presence as opposed to a personal profile. Some clubs use their Facebook page as their website, their de facto website. But even there, I mean, you don't have a lot of control of the layout and what order things are presented in. I still think you want to have a website that people can find in Google search and where they can find all the details about why your club is so fabulous and why people ought to visit.
You touched on something really interesting. You mentioned the word real estate. And so there's an ownership component here. And tell us a little bit about why that's important with respect to websites.
Well, I mean, some of that goes back to the fact that Facebook can change the rules of engagement at any time. And they have done that several times where certain techniques that may be working fantastically for you to get engagement and for you to drive people to take the actions that you want to take. Well, they come along, they change the algorithm, they change the formula that decides what people see and how they can engage with it. You know, often that changes because Facebook thinks that the way that you're gaining attention for free is something that they could monetize. And if they can get you to pay money for advertising, they would rather have you do that than have you get a lot of value for free. They're in business. I'm not saying that there's necessarily anything that evil about it, but the rules of the game can change at any time. Your website, you can, as I say, you can present things in the order that you want, the image that you want. depending on some of the techie details, which we said we would get into a little bit later, you can have control over the navigation of that website, what is emphasized, what kind of image you project, and have a lot more control than you can when you're operating within anybody else's platform, social platform or whatever.
Hmm. David, as a distinguished Toastmaster who's been around the organization for a while, I'm sure you've come across dozens and dozens of Toastmasters Club websites, even before you started doing research for this particular article. But I'd like to get a sense, with all the sites that you've reviewed on different platforms, what are some of the things that you see that clubs are doing really well that will go a long way to attract and welcome prospective members?
The positive example, I would say, is something that gives you some real way of engaging and get a sense of what that club is like, what the personality is like. I would say that using video on your homepage is probably one of the most powerful things you can do. Now, of course, it depends on the quality of that video, but we're in this business, we're in this interest area of speaking and presenting. You know, to the extent that if you're doing things online, you just have to start recording on Zoom. You might want to have somebody edit that down to a good clip. I mean, I have a whole riff I can give you about why clubs should record things routinely. My home club does that, and we only share the videos privately, but then occasionally we'll twist somebody's arm and say, you did a really great job on this. Can we share this on the website? And it's not that hard to do. If you have a video of a good, compelling speech, you edit it down a little bit, you put it on YouTube, you can embed that YouTube video on your website and give people a real sense of what it might be like to visit this club. The fact that there's great talent within your club. Show off how fabulous you are. What most clubs do is they have a posed picture of the club members staring at the camera on the front page, and they have a few links, maybe. I think one of the worst things that I see routinely, and I've seen this on small business websites and other websites as well, is promoting the upcoming event that happened a year ago, maybe 2 years ago.
Right.
Somebody got excited about the website and posted something, and then they haven't gone back to it and updated it. You want to make sure that you have, as the basics, current information. It should say where and when, and, you know, these days also how, online, hybrid, in person, you meet. So those details need to be there up front. But also, I think that probably the most all-important thing is that you need to brand yourself in some way. And I'm not talking about the Toastmasters brand manual about what colors to use and all that. That's very important. But you need to brand your own club. What is so special about your club? Why are you so fabulous? Why should we visit you? And I think that is even more imperative now that we have online and hybrid as such a big component of how Toastmasters clubs function. Because once you say we're going to allow people from anywhere in the world to attend, well, that's great. You're opening yourself up to big possibilities, but you're also competing with the entire rest of the world. Whereas before, people were searching for and finding a club that was within driving distance and met at a time that was convenient for them. Those are probably the two most important things to advertise is where and when. But beyond that, what is it, you know, is this a club that is focused on comedy? Does it have some kind of specialization like that you want to promote? And I probably shouldn't diss the picture of the club members entirely, because seeing a face that I recognize, if I'm looking for a local club, oh, he's in that club? Well, maybe that's the one I should visit. That can be a very powerful thing. But I would rather have that be a picture of them in action, giving a speech, doing something a little bit more dynamic rather than a posed picture.
Right.
Yeah, fair enough.
I guess also as we move into more of this global world, when I said you need to say where you meet, if I say it's a club in Melbourne, well, if that's Melbourne, Florida, that's quite a bit different than Melbourne in Australia. So you might actually need to think about how you spell out some of those things a little bit more clearly. I'm in favor of giving clubs some freedom over how they design their website and tools for how they can change the colors of things. But I see a lot of websites that where actually people have gone crazy with those features, and you have a homepage that is 10 different colors, and half of them are pukey green pastel or something. There was this phenomenon when they first came out with desktop publishing software. They would talk about ransom note typography, using every possible font on the page. That is not what is going to make a great impression on people. Think about design in terms of simplicity, clean presentation. You can use some special effects where they're meaningful and they help you tell your story, but don't use them just for the sake of using them.
Yeah. Obviously, if people are looking for Toastmasters branding, then obviously they should be using the Toastmasters branding guide, which is readily available at toastmasters.org. But I'm thinking here, we're talking about differentiating yourself. Certainly, there are some clubs that are focused on a particular area that might be focused on entrepreneurship, humor, as you mentioned. What happens if they're not niche focused? What are some of the things that they could potentially do to say, hey, you know, we are here, we're different. I mean, we are, but we're not. Yeah. I mean, I can think of one just being time and location. Mm-hmm. What can they do? Because they might say, well, you know, we tried everything we can think of, but it doesn't work.
Well, one, I'll go back to video as a way of showcasing somebody in your club who has special talents. Also, if you have some way of including blog posts or articles, get the people who are knowledgeable and talented in your club to do an article. Some of it could just be stuff about club operation that would draw in other Toastmasters, but public speaking style techniques. Get your people engaged, if you can, in creating some blog posts or articles that showcase their knowledge and expertise. That can be something that draws people in. It can also be something where if other people say, that's the best article I've seen on video recording Toastmasters speeches, and they link to it, then that can drive up the search engine juice coming over to your site, because incoming links are one of the factors that factor in that. I think location, you know, assuming we go back to a world where Toastmasters doesn't become all clubs meeting online, assuming that location remains a big factor, definitely continue to emphasize that. Even if you're going to be a hybrid club and you're welcoming members who might be from outside of driving interest, that local focus is still going to be a big deal for you, that people want to connect with the club that some of their personal friends are in, people that they're going to see around town, that it is a place where they can maybe network with other small business owners. So think about those values as well.
I see quite often you'll see club websites that do their best in terms of attracting and recruiting members. And sometimes you only see things that are related to the actual members after the fact, an example of a video that they posted. How do you find a balance between a member-oriented and a guest-oriented website?
Let's see. I think it can be both. Certainly on the platforms that allow meeting role sign-up, that's an activity that you want to have take place on the website. You can have some of those agenda organization activities taking place there. But also in terms of what you would publish as content, certainly recognizing member achievements is something that can be a component of your site. I think I would want to balance that with keeping in mind the fact that you also have this recruiting mission, don't make it so insidery that you turn people off. You want it to appear in a way that people look at this and say, oh, this is a supportive club. They give a lot of recognition for their members for what they do. The reason I think that's a little bit of a tricky balance is I don't want you to have stuff that's just talking to your existing member base as what's at the top of the homepage, where it seems so insidery that people outside can't necessarily even decode it. I did see one club website where they had their meeting minutes on the homepage, and I don't think that's a good use of the format. Mm. Also, one of the things I talk about in the article is about using insider language, like table topics. Does anybody outside of Toastmasters know what table topics is? When I put that in the headline, I would always say table topics impromptu speaking contest, something like that. You can explain it in context that somebody just won your table topics impromptu speaking contest. But if you tell them they won the table topics contest, then what's table topics? It's a classic thing where the organization that's all supposed to be about communication forgets to communicate from time to time. Let's not fall into that trap.
Right.
David, as you know, a lot of clubs are using the free Toast Host platform, where clubs can get a free website at toastmastersclubs.org. Other clubs have their own custom site, perhaps a WordPress website. And you have developed something that blends these together, let's say. So can you please tell us a little bit about the WordPress for Toastmasters project and Toastmost?
This is my pet project. When I became a club officer, I looked at Free Toast Host and felt that it was cramping my style, because I had spent some time working on WordPress and customizations to WordPress, and I just kept running into little roadblocks where I said, well, this would be a lot easier to do if I was on WordPress. So we moved my home club over to a WordPress website, and I looked at how Free Toast Host had the agenda management features built in. And I sort of cloned that initially. And over time, it has sort of diverged and it's gone in other directions. For those who don't know, WordPress is actually the world's most popular web content management system, meaning it is something where you sign in and you can easily create a blog post or customize your homepage. It was created by bloggers for use by other bloggers. It has a software model. It's open source software, so it's given away for free, although there are various business interests swirling around it. But it has a way that you can create plugin modules that add additional functionality. So I added a plugin that I already had worked on for a political campaign that does event registrations and event management. And then I added another layer that is the agenda management, signing up for roles, notes on the agenda about how the agenda is organized. You know, over the years, as I've elaborated on it, I've added other bells and whistles, like for online presenters, which is a club that I led to charter in 2017, when somebody fills out that Find a Club contact form on the Toastmasters International website and they send us an email, well, we automatically send them back an email that says, go look at our website, because that's probably going to answer a lot of your questions. I've built out a tool for contests and so forth. A lot of the value you get from this combination comes from the basic WordPress software and everything that you can do with that. People may or may not use all the other bells and whistles that I've layered on top. You're able to use something that is used for professional web publishing, gives you a lot of flexibility. I guess the trade-off versus Free Toast Host that took me a while to appreciate was that with all those additional features, there's a lot more for people to learn. Toastmost is the easiest way to get access to that software. So you go to toastmost.org and you can sign up to get a club website. Now, it's not free. I offer a free trial and then there is a charge for it. I had to work with Toastmasters International to make sure that I was kind of on the right side of the law as far as not improperly using the Toastmasters brand. The themes or the designs for these websites have gone through a review with Toastmasters International so that people are starting off with a brand compliant design. And even like within the WordPress editor, I've gotten it so that when you are, there's a little color picker tool. And so those come up as the brand colors by default, trying to guide people onto the straight and narrow.
David, obviously there are a lot of moving parts, more than we could really cover in our time here. And I know that there's lots of opportunities here for clubs to improve their marketing recruiting. On that note, if people want to find out a little bit more about you, a little bit more about the WordPress for Toastmasters project and Toastmos, what's the best way for people to connect with you?
Sure. I guess toastmos.org is probably the starting point. On LinkedIn and Twitter, I'm David F. Carr. I'm relatively easy to find there. CarrCommunications.com is my business website. Those are a couple places to get started. I'd love to connect with more Toastmasters through LinkedIn. Invite me to come present at your TLI or conference. I would love to have more of those opportunities to get the word out about Toastmost. You know, for one thing, it's a pretty well-kept secret.
Hopefully after listening to this interview that they will be flocking to your website. Just a reminder, folks, that's David Carr, David F. Carr, that's C-A-R-R. We'll certainly put a link to everything that David mentioned in the show notes. And if you've really enjoyed this episode, if you found value in it, please take an opportunity to share this podcast with others. You can find the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and most places that you find your podcasts. Ryan?
David F. Carr, thanks for coming on the show today and sharing with us about how we can make our club websites effective marketing and recruiting assets. Thanks for sharing about toastmost.org. It's always great to give people options and choices. Appreciate you being on with us.
Thank you, David.
Thanks very much for having me on.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.